huntsmanmentalhealth.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
CBS News Special Report. Law enforcement officials have released more details about the apparent assassination attempt on Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. The special agent in charge at the FBI's Miami field office, Jeffrey Velte, says the suspect was patiently waiting.
Cellular data shows that the subject was in the vicinity of the golf course roughly 12 hours before the engagement with the United States Secret Service.
The acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe says his agents did just what they were trained to do.
The agents' hypervigilance and the detailed swift action was textbook. And I commend them and our partners for an exemplary response in keeping former President Trump safe.
Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw says security near Trump's home has now been increased.
The security level at Mar-a-Lago is the highest it can possibly be now. The road closures are back in place and will remain there. The checkpoints are in place.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two court cases involving Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s bid to get off the November presidential ballot may require local election officials to make new ballots from scratch and delay sending them out. There are court cases in Dane and Waukesha counties. Kennedy has dropped out of the race and is endorsing Donald Trump. We expect to learn more soon about Vice President Kamala Harris's plans to visit Madison Friday night. Meanwhile, running mate Tim Walz stumped in Wausau and Superior over the weekend.
She brought joy back to the idea of politics, an idea that it can be better, bigger than just one of us.
The Republicans will be in Wisconsin this week, too. Vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance will be in Eau Claire tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a Wood County Resource Fair happening later this month. The Job Center of Wisconsin is holding the Resource Fair and Open House on September 25th from 10 to 1. It will be at the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center on West Grand Avenue. They'll have information on housing and childcare, as well as career counseling, education and tutoring, and more. That's September 25th from 10 to 1. Absentee ballots get sent out this week. Clerks will start to distribute the ballots through the USPS on September 19th for the November 5th presidential election. You have until October 16th to register to vote online or by mail. The deadline to register at your municipal clerk's office is November 1st. You can request your ballot online or check with your local clerk about early in-person voting options. To find more election information, you can visit myvote.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's a victory Monday for the Packers. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay got a 10-point lead in the first half and stayed ahead of Indianapolis the rest of the way, taking a 16-10 victory at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Head coach Matt LaFleur was happy to get the win.
I have a lot of respect for the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley, he's one of the premier defensive coordinators in this league. And just for our guys to be able to go out there and execute, this is a very tough physical football team that we played. And for our guys to be able to do what we did, I was really proud of our efforts.
The Packers will play Tennessee this Sunday. Milwaukee's run of extra-inning losses continued Sunday as the Brewers fell 11-10 in 10 innings to the Diamondbacks. Milwaukee took a lead in the top of the 10th but gave up 3 runs in the bottom half with closer Devin Williams left in the bullpen. It doesn't get any easier for the Brewers, who will host the Phillies and Diamondbacks for a 7-game homestand beginning tonight. Milwaukee's lead in the NL Central is at 10 games. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight. Low 60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs 85 to 90. Clouds return Thursday, a chance of storms late. High temps drop back into the low 80s. More rain chances for the upcoming weekend. It's 82 right now.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we'll take your phone calls, ask what's grinding your gears, and more of our Text to Win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Director's Cut. We are here to have some fun today and get into session number 53. Your host and program director here is James J. Maloff, with my partner and our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us once again. And we are continuing our Civic series tonight.
Yeah, with this show, we continue not only the Civic series, but give you an idea of a mind that I wanted to get our different Civic Media family members out there and get you to get to know them a little bit better. So with that, we ask the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage Civic Media's own, the incredibly talented anchor host. You hear her do Slice of Wisconsin segments during our breaks, a true Renaissance woman and one of the greatest voices in radio. Just my opinion. Our friend Terry Barr joins us. Terry, how are you?
Wow, you guys. Now I have to live up to all of that.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Set the bar high, Terry.
Yeah,
we
no
set
pressure
the bar high
at all.
No kidding. It's great to be here with you and all of your wonderful listeners today.
We get to hear this voice for the next half an hour, Seth. That's awesome. Terry, I appreciate you taking the time, joining us, and everything. And one of the ways I like to start things off is asking people their origin story. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and your early days?
I would love to. You know, as a kid, I grew up on a dairy farm just outside of Green Bay. And I'm so proud to say that I am a daughter of a former dairy farmer. I think that's such an important thing in Wisconsin, and it's something to be proud of. The good thing about growing up on a dairy farm, both of my parents were very, very active in our community and in the state, things like Farm Bureau and other activities that would take them all over the country. So seeing them do that made me want to do that. And I just am forever grateful that my parents said, and especially to a girl on a dairy farm, that I could be or do whatever I wanted. And what I wanted to do since I was a little kid was go into radio and TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, so my very first radio job was when I was still in high school, and I worked at a little Shawano, Wisconsin radio station. It was an AM at the time, and before we knew what news talk was, that's what the Shawano radio station was.
Cool.
So that's kind of where this all began.
Wow.
Nice.
That is really, really interesting. When it comes to your parents in those early days and growing up on a dairy farm, certainly with the early hours and the work ethic that it has to be to do something like that, do you feel that you organically took in some of that work ethic and applied that to whatever all many things that you have done in your life?
Oh, absolutely. I remember the call to, why haven't you fed the calves yet? But it was also, get that job done, and then you can go do all these other things you want to do. And I was so lucky, you know. And you sometimes you think kids on a dairy farm, that's all they do. But again, my parents were so supportive of myself and my two brothers. We were all in sports. We were all in band. We were all, you know, I was a cheerleader. We all did extracurricular activities, and we all did okay in school. But I think, as you said, it goes back to that whole idea of having to be responsible by the time you can walk. You're in the barn or you're somewhere helping with all the things that your parents have to do.
You know, and Terry, one of the things, too, that I think stands out with this, and this happens, I would say, with almost every guest we've had on this show or some of the other shows we do around here, when I ask people that origin question, it so often comes back to the parents being supportive. I like to say encouragement, support, cost nothing, can mean everything. And while for myself growing up, I didn't have hardly anything, I always had my mom and dad. And while I had an athlete for a father and a man who just loves and eats and breathes and leaves, loves sports and wanted his son to be an athlete and all these things, I'm 7 years old and I tell him I want to be an actor. And the first thing he says to me is, Jimmy, okay, but be the best. You want to do it, that's fine, but be the best at it. And has supported me ever since. And I can't imagine that it was necessarily easy for his 7-year-old to come up to him and say, I'd rather play a boxer than be a boxer. This is not our stories. Seth's are so very similar when it comes to where we all come from different areas and walks of life. This similarity continues where parents being supportive of their kids. It's a nice note to all moms and dads out there and all you parents. That's one thing that never gets out of style.
That's right.
And still works. When it came to getting into radio, you mentioned that early job. How did that happen?
I just stopped in and said, do you need somebody to come and help you this summer?
Wow.
You know, small local radio. That's where it was at. And I think because this radio station, very much like all of you, are so involved in the community, and I saw that, and I really took that to heart at a young age, watching my parents as well be involved and seeing the radio station involved, and I thought, if this is something I want to do, I'm just going to ask if they need some help during the summertime and see what happens, and they said yes. And that's when I found my love for not just being in radio, but I found my love for news and wanting to make a difference in that aspect.
When it comes to whether it's radio or any other walks of life, who do you consider some of your early or some of your bigger influences?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. Probably for me, it goes back to somebody like a Joan London. And, of course, Jane Pauley is still on CBS Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the way these women would tell stories, I probably did take a page out of their books because I wanted to be a storyteller, but I wanted it, again, to make it mean something to the listeners. Maybe it's fun, maybe it's serious, but at the end you hope you made a difference with it, whether you made them laugh or cry or make them want to step out and help somebody else.
Joan London doesn't get enough flowers. She was so good at that job. And a great talker, great interviewer, great way. I remember her a lot doing Good Morning America and some of the work there. It's great names to bring up. One name that I went back when I first started doing Midday Magazine, and I'm not a traditional interviewer and wanted to really learn and try to get better at the craft in a quick amount of time. I went back and listened to a couple of people that I really enjoy and I've been around, but I went down a rabbit hole on Barbara Walters and watched a lot of her interviews, and I was watching them just basically to see how she constructed her questions and stuff. But what I found watching her was learning, man, you can ask the simplest question, but the great questions that she would have were always these follow-up questions. And how important that is. And some of these great artists, I consider them, at interviewing really helped shape so many of us going forward and how we would do this game and how we would do these. That's really cool to hear those names. So we don't get to hear those names nearly enough. Those are great influences. Those are great ones.
Yeah, and everybody always said, listen, stop and listen. Don't, if you have questions written down, that's great. Maybe even a simple outline. But don't keep looking at your outline and your questions so you're ready for the next one. Look at the person and listen to that person and let it breathe, because sometimes you get the best stuff when you're talking to someone and the other person stops talking. Mm-hmm. It's one of those moments. And there have been some of those where I just sat there and looked at the other person, and they just looked at me and then started saying all the things that I was wishing they would say. All of a sudden, there it was, because I didn't open my mouth again so quickly.
Very nice.
It's one of the coolest things to happen in the interview. Yeah. It's so, it's such great points. We're speaking with Terry Barr, Civic Media's own. And Terry, I mentioned earlier that the Slice of Wisconsin segments, a lot of people have heard and really enjoy. I've heard many good things from our listeners about that over the last couple of years. You do other things here at Civic Media as well. We only have a half an hour, just keep in mind. But can we tell the audience some of the other jobs and the other things that you do here, not only at Civic, but just in general?
Oh, my goodness. I also write a lot for the website. So if people are looking for information, if they're looking for some fun stories, you'll also find those Slice of Wisconsin stories on the Civic Media website, which is civicmedia.us. I write commercials. I write promotions. I feel like I am just a person, and I feel very, very fortunate for this, that if somebody can't get it done or needs some assistance or is just like, here, you do this, that somebody can lean on me to do that. And I think it comes from, after I started in TV, I went to college for radio, TV, film, and I minored in journalism and political science. But I think once I moved from radio to TV, I found that the ability to wear a lot of different hats took you a lot of places.
That's true.
And I think that has always been a really good thing to remember, that it is a plus. It's not a minus if you can wear lots of hats.
I want to say real quick that for those of the everyone there that was there when we did the switchover 2 years ago, August 1st, when after Civic Media purchased WFHR, one of the first voices you heard was probably Terry Barrs, because she did the initial run of the new promos that we were doing. You're listening to WFHR, locally grown radio and everything. So Terry has been here since the very beginning of our tenure with Civic Media, which means, you know, for those who know, there's been, you know, quite a bit of turnover. It's a new company, that kind of thing. But Terry's been here since the beginning. So it's nice to have that continuity. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And it has been such a pleasure to work with all of you. Wisconsin Rapids and the area, very, very fortunate to have people like you in the community.
Appreciate you, Terry.
Thank you.
We can't handle compliments around here, so we're just going to move on. One of the things that you noted, I think, that is really cool about not only what you do, but what we do here at Civic Media, and actually it goes back to something I told Seth day one when he first started interning with us. You know, you're good at this, get good at this too, and this too, and this too, and make it so you're so valuable.
Indispensable.
That, indispensable,
right?
And all that. And it's a great note to, I think, younger people out there, whether they're getting into this medium or any medium, that make yourself invaluable. You know, that's one of the greatest things you can do. And wearing a lot of hats can also keep the job to be very fresh and interesting.
Exactly.
There's a lot of advantages to it. Speaking of advantages to things, Terry, my daughter is different, but at the same time, very similar to you, and just very early in her stages. She's 27. She is a freelance creative. She really is out there doing many different things and doesn't really have necessarily an overall boss. She has a little more freedom to her career with that, but also some insecurity with some things and some fears with some things. For you, do you for one, still consider yourself and are still a freelance creative? Because I don't want to just assign that to you, but it does seem like you are. And how have you enjoyed that? What are the pluses and the negatives to that? Or just the pluses, if you want.
Yeah, there's definitely pluses. It allows me to do some of the other things that I really do enjoy that maybe I don't do at Civic Media. I love social media, and I do work with a couple musicians and help them create their social media. And again, because I'm working with musicians, I'm working with other creatives, we're having fun with that. We do videos, and we do, you know, other kinds of non-traditional posting, where if I did that with Civic Media, we would be, you know, a little more on the news politics side. So I like getting away and doing the creative things. I write for other people. I can even ghostwrite. I've done some ghostwriting as a speech writer or a commentary or an editorial. And nobody knew I did it, but, you know, because your name isn't on it.
Right.
But if you can step up and do those kinds of things, I would certainly encourage your daughter to do that. And it does. I mean, there can be days where you kind of go, oh, what am I doing? But I have had fewer of those kinds of days than glorious days where you just feel like, yep, I found my spot and this just feels really good.
You mentioned acting. Our ears perked up at that, of course, because you were talking to two fellow actors right here. Have you gotten to do anything recently? Do you have anything coming up?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Yes, recently I was in a zombie comedy movie.
Yeah. I may have cheated on this one, Terry. I may have looked at your social media. I may have, yeah.
Oh, you stinker.
Yeah.
Oddly, I said, was I typecast? Because I played a news reporter.
Play what you know, right?
Right. Oh, I got to be the news reporter at the toward the end of the film that lets everybody know that basically everything will be okay. So that was really fun.
Cool.
And I play piano, and all of a sudden I am going to be playing a piano teacher in another local film that is just getting underway. So it's fun when you can connect some of these dots, but with the right people too, so you feel like you're doing something that really is worth your time.
It's so cool to hear.
Yeah.
And good on you for it. And it also means that we have to work together. I have to work with you. We have to act together sometimes.
Boy.
We have to.
We would have so much fun.
Yes, it would be a blast. We have a lot of fun here at Civic Media. We enjoy our jobs. We love what we get to do. Up and down the state, you'll find a Civic Media radio station. We also take these jobs on knowing that there is a little more to the job than your normal radio gig or certainly talk or music where it goes. When it comes to what it means to you to work for Civic Media, to work with Civic Media, I should say, Terry, what does it mean to you?
When I've had people ask, what is Civic Media? And then you tell them it's a statewide network of local radio stations, and they still kind of give you a puzzled look. I will then often say, it's taking me back to why I got into radio or TV in the beginning. Mm. I love to talk about how stations up north that maybe had been turned off or hadn't been considered local in a really long time, all of a sudden these stations are back on their main street, they're back on the air, they're back getting into the community. And I just feel that in my heart that is something so important. Everybody wants to feel like they're part of something, but if you don't have anyone that is talking to you about it or representing you for it, it just doesn't feel right. So while I was at the very beginning of Civic Media and I'm watching Sage Weil, our owner, purchasing these stations all over the state and then opening the doors again, I sat back many days and just applauded him because it feels right. It feels like this is what radio and local TV, this is what it's supposed to be. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Well said.
Yeah.
We are both on board for that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We went through the ringer of having a couple of different owners in a very short amount of time.
Right.
And as somebody who's been doing this a long time myself, you know, I've been in radio for 20-some years, and I've had at least 8 to 9 different ownership changes I've been a part of and everything. You get a little bit of PTSD with this stuff of, they say one thing, but they don't do it necessarily. We were very fortunate with Heart of Wisconsin Media that owned us beforehand. Marcus was, you're not your typical owner, didn't come from a radio background. And really, when he said something, he meant it. Whether he could pull it off or not, he was going to try.
Right.
He had a lot of great intentions and great heart, and we wouldn't be where we are without him. When Civic took over, I was very on the fence because I didn't know who this company was. I didn't know anything about them. Nobody did. And I certainly did my homework on Sage and immediately was very intrigued by him because of his background. And he's not coming from a radio background either. And then you meet him. And it's hard not to immediately not only get engaged, but get on board with what he's trying to do. I don't know for you guys, but for me, when I came away from the first meeting, as much as the last time I talked to him just a couple of days ago, I come away from talking to him like being reminded that – he doesn't have to do any of this. he could have sat back, like, look, right. You know, there's another universe, parallel universe, where he's sitting on a beach in Hawaii or something like right. that. Like, I mean, he's doing this, and he's investing in our state, in our people, because this is what it means to him. Mm-hmm. And if that's what it means to him, who am I or anybody else here to not get on board? And it's contagious. It really does get in your system, especially... All of us, there ain't anybody in radio that's doing this to be the next Rockefeller. Well, is that an old reference?
I know.
To need the next Jobs. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
We do this because certainly we want to keep the lights on, but also this is a passion. We love what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I want to really quick piggyback, and I wonder if you guys agree with me on this. Sage is not one of those slick, you know, guys, hey, you know, I'm going to do this and miss
Thank
that.
Goodness.
I know. Yeah. He comes back. He comes across as very... sincere and very natural. Yeah. That's not a lot you get in radio. My goodness, James can, I'm sure both of you actually, who've both been in radio a lot longer than I have, can talk about those kind of like slicksters, you know, that say, like James was saying, say one thing, do another behind your back, and then you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We have not had that with Sage. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can tell you, and please don't laugh, but sometimes I think about my past, and I don't regret anything about what I've done on my trail to get to where I am now, because that all tells a story. But I worked at 7 different TV stations. And during the TV time, I always tried to keep a foot in radio. So wherever I was working or living, there was still something about radio that kept pulling me over and pulling me over. And in the end, I'm glad I did that, because that way I kept up with the changes. And yeah, you get to know the people you're talking about that are slick that maybe you don't want to work with in the
Exactly,
future.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you learn a lot along the path, that is for sure. And you guys and Sage and everyone at Civic Media, I just feel so fortunate to work with all of you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. This is a radio, man. That's radio. It's not just that. As we're getting ready to wrap up here, I did have just a couple more questions. I have not done a good job as an interviewer really covering your career. In my defense, it's gigantic, and you have accomplished so much. But you have gotten a chance, and I've gone. I mentioned Barbara Walters, some interviewers I've gone back and listened to. You are one of those people, Terry. I have gone and listened to some of your past interviews that I could find. I really appreciate it's so cool to hear that you were interested in being a storyteller, because I feel like as an interviewer, you're even able to do that. Who are some of the, you know, your favorite moments, your favorite interviews that you have had over the years?
Oh, my goodness. One that it still stands out, because growing up a Green Bay Packers fan and then working in television in Green Bay back in the 90s when the Packers finally got back to the Super Bowl. And we had just become the local Fox TV station, and everybody was like, what is a Fox TV station? There wasn't even, we didn't have a national Fox brand then. So we were doing hours and hours and hours of news and then just some other programs, but we had the Packers, and that was huge. And we traveled with them. We covered every game. We did hours before the game, hours after the game, interviewed anybody and everybody we could grab. And it often included the players after the game. And I have to say, those were some of the best days, because in the end, the Nationals were not around. The ESPNs were not coming around. It was all, once again, oops, you have to depend on the local folks.
Yeah,
and it
nice.
Was wonderful. Yeah,
so cool.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
Terry, we appreciate the time so very much. This has been a blast. I do think that you did too good. You're going to have to come back. We're going to have to do a part two of these, because there's just so much else I want to get into and so many other more questions. But we do have one final question for you, and it may be the most tough one, the hardball question.
It's always the hardest.
If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Oh, wow.
I told you. I tried to warn
you. Same reaction. Yeah, we always get.
It's a tough one. It's a tough
one. Yeah. Oh, see, I should have, and I know we never give questions ahead of time, but I should have said, what questions are you going to ask?
Yes.
I know we don't like to do that. Is it fair if I say I want to sit down with all of the members of the band Kiss.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
That's fine.
There is no wrong answer, but you may have come up with the perfect one. That's a great answer. Oh, that's a fun answer.
Thank you.
That's a fun, fun answer. I saw.
I have enjoyed them since I was a little kid. Got to go to the final concert in New York City at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
And it's just something I'll never forget. You know, the music just takes you places and makes you remember things, and there's just something about that. I would love to say some news figures, but I'm going to stick with the fun side of
this.
Let's
go. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got to see, my first real big concert or true concert was seeing Kiss in 96, 97 over at the Kohl Center. And I went into it. I went because one of my best friends is a diehard Kiss fan, has a Kiss Army tattoo, dresses up as Gene Simmons every year for Halloween, a big Kiss guy.
Awesome.
I went to go with him, so he didn't have to go by himself and all this. And I thought it'd be kind of cool as an entertainer, as an actor. I like dissecting this stuff. If I wasn't a big Kiss guy beforehand, I was after. I don't know how you can't be. They are a perfect balance of a theater, of music, a circus.
Mm-hmm.
It is so amazing. And how they've been doing it for as long as they have, and had done, I should say, is so impressive. Great choices right there.
Excellent.
Terry,
you described it perfect.
There you go.
It was perfectly described, yes.
A follow-up question to that one. If you were a member of KISS, do you have an animal you would be? Do you have any makeup or anything you'd be? They got a couple animals already covered.
Oh, my God.
I think that's too hard, man.
It's too tough.
That's too tough. That's across the board.
I would say cat, but the Catman's already
Yeah, Peter.
Done.
Peter Chris is over there. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a fair question. Yeah. Was it?
It was a fun one, though.
You are the best, Terry. We appreciate you so much. We're looking forward to hearing your voice on our station, going forward more and more. And again, you're going to have to come back because this was a lot of fun.
This was wonderful, and thank you so much for asking me. And thank you to all the listeners for listening.
Oh, and don't forget to catch her on MaxSync Radio as well on Saturdays, because Terry's there as well. I almost forgot to mention that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that mention. Yeah, we are live from 6 to 10, and then we just play great music from 10 to midnight. But we have a live band in studio at 9 o'clock every Saturday night.
Yes.
I'm so jealous of that. I love that. You got to keep that alive. Keep that in radio. Great work, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be back with more Director's Cut here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a
gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 1,350 people in Wisconsin registered to vote after pop star Taylor Swift endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris last week. That's according to Vote.org. Swift posted her support for Harris on Instagram Tuesday night after the presidential debate. There's talk of trimming the Federal Trade Commission by 27%, but Aaron Witte of the Consumer Federation of America says the FTC has good ideas, like making it easier to cancel online subscriptions.
That would make it as easy for someone to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up for it.
And that proposal has gotten thousands of comments from consumers about how much time they are wasting.
A group called Opportunity Wisconsin is calling on Congress to pass clean funding bills without extreme provisions that would hurt families. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids is fully open to traffic. The road construction project closed Lincoln Street for most of the summer. City crews marked the remainder of pavement markings and wrapped up a small amount of ancillary work last week. Work is continuing on the Mead Field pickleball courts. Concrete sidewalks have been poured on the west and north side of the courts. The bases and posts for interior fencing, net posts, and perimeter fencing has been installed by American Fence. The surface course of asphalt should be paved soon. Networking at night with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce is at the Nakusa Community Center tonight. You can stop down for food, fun, and networking from 5 to 7. This is open to members and future members. It's free to attend. They'll have live music, games, and a 50-50 raffle. Appetizers are provided by Four Nakusa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift had her own network special last Wednesday night, also known as the Video Music Awards. The event took place at the UBS Arena in New York, and Swift was a big winner. It took the stage often for acceptance speeches while taking home lots of hardware. For the third year in a row, the megastar won Best Music Video for Fortnite, on which she collaborated with Post Malone. The video also won Best Direction. Swift's video for Anti-Hero won in 2023, and her own version of All Too Well took home the prize in 2022. Swift also won Artist of the Year for the second year in a row. She is the only artist to win the award in back-to-back years. That's right, she is no longer an up-and-comer. During Swift's many acceptance speeches, she honored the victims of 9/11 and surprised everybody by giving a shout-out to Travis Kelce, who she referred to as her boyfriend. Swift also encouraged people to register to vote. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight. Low 60s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs 85 to 90. Clouds return Thursday, a chance of storms late. High temps drop back into the low 80s. More rain chances for the upcoming weekend. Right now it's 80.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp, and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we're talking about supper clubs, the comfort food of restaurants, what makes them unique, and why they're so hard to rank.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back, everyone, to Director's Cut here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Seth and James here with you. And I want to say a big thank you to Terry Barr for joining us. That was awesome.
She's great. Could talk to her for a long, long time.
We actually have about 7 to 10 hours of extra interview footage that we just weren't able to use. We had to cut it down.
She got several episodes in the can. Yeah.
And we could have talked to her that long. But as we wanted to kind of wrap up the show here, we wanted to do that in a fun way. Mm-hmm. I do want to remind everybody that we will be continuing the Civic series. After next week, we actually have an interview set up with our own Brittany Merlot. We're going to be talking with Brittany and getting to know her a little bit more. Other Civic Media family members will be joining us, and our own, because after this, we're going to be kicking off our local Civic series here.
That's right.
We're going to talk to Melissa and Seth. We're going to talk to Laura and Tim, and we're going to talk to Pam and Chuck, and I cannot wait for all these interviews.
Man, that's all good, too. And James, of course, too, because we don't know enough about James.
Yeah, you never hear me talk about myself or anything, so God, how else will anybody know?
How else will we know?
I'm doing my homework, my back. I'm going to find some interesting facts about all these people. We're going to get to know them a little bit better, and most importantly, I will. No,
the most important thing.
But one of the things that we wanted to do with this wrapping up the show was coming up, we get these topics that we just never get a chance to talk about that can be a lot of fun for us, the audience, and interesting. And MovieWeb.com put together a list of actors who have been in the most movies. And I've never really thought much about this. This was a topic that up until I got this article, and I got this article, being honest with the audience, almost a year ago. I've had this that I've been sitting on.
Oh, gosh.
That we just never had really the time to get into anything.
No but, time like the present.
But since then, I've thought more and more about this. And certainly there is, I think it's noteworthy to say that when it comes to actors, there is no 401k. There is no retirement plan for actors. So being able to get a big body of work doesn't just mean, oh, I'm a big actor. I've been in a lot of movies. It means I've had a paycheck all of this time. I've
been able to
take care of my responsibilities, my family, all of this. Actors are different and are no different at the same time than any other blue collar worker or anybody out there trying to make it check to check, trying to live, trying to survive. And to see this list, I thought it was very noteworthy. Now, for me, in our generation, I should say, Seth, I don't think we have seen many people that have done what Samuel Jackson has done. You can honestly say that Samuel Jackson has been in a movie almost every month of our lifetime, or of our older adult lives, I should say, of our adult lives. And what I think is also really cool about this list, we're going to go through the list with you. We're going to give you the numbers. But as we're going through this list, I want you to note out there how many of these people are stars, but maybe not household names, and not the names you would think of necessarily.
Right, like the superstars, right? You know, the names above the marquee, as they used to say, not really a thing anymore. But, you know, the ones the first on the poster kind of thing.
So many of these people, if not all of these people, just doing my little back reading and stuff, all come from working class families and have that work ethic in them. And I thought that was interesting, as noteworthy as you're not going to see Tom Cruise on this list. You're not going to see some of those big names. You will see some, but you're not going to see necessarily some of the names that are household names, but great legendary actors. Like at number 25, Clint Eastwood with 82.
Wow. Did not know that.
I think a lot of people out there that know that are younger and may know only Clint Eastwood as the older man or the director, which is noteworthy. Some younger people from the 80s and stuff may think of Dirty Harry and some of those. But Clint made his bones in spaghetti westerns and did a lot of those really early on. In fact, was typecast early on. Dirty Harry actually helped him break type.
That's right.
Which is fascinating, but also created a whole other type for him that he had to live up to.
Right. And then I think part of why he went into directing was to try to get away from some of that stuff. Not that he didn't like Westerns, because he continued to make them, even like Unforgiven in the 90s and stuff like that. So, no, but that's remarkable.
Think
about that.
We don't have to do it with every actor, but I think another fun thing is your favorite role these actors have played.
Oh, yes.
That have played 82 roles. It's pretty hard to...
Which one do you really like?
But I would be... I have to go with my dad on this one, Fistful of Dollars, and that character he played in those three movies. Those are... Right. Oh, man, the preacher, you know, some of these. He's had some great roles
absolutely
in his career. Robert Duvall comes in at number 24 with 93 roles in his career.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's a shocker to me.
Yeah.
Because, of course, another well-known name, but wow, I didn't realize he'd been in that many.
I never thought of that.
Never thought of it.
I actually think of him as more of a select actor, and I would have gone into this conversation saying, oh, well, he's probably not on this list. So to see him at number 24 was interesting.
That's good to know. And also, it's nice to know as we go through this list that there are some bigger names, and they're still working a lot. Again, a lot of it's just because you got to live, man. Yeah. You got to keep working.
At number 22, a tie between Anthony Hopkins and Bette Davis at 99.
Oh, my gosh. Anthony Hopkins will get over 100, I'm guessing, by the time he's done.
Well, I brought up when this list came out.
That's true. That's right. Yeah.
Since then, he has moved ahead of Bette Davis.
Yeah, okay.
But he is still behind the great Christopher Plummer, who was at 21, with 119 roles.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
From, like, just over 100 to 119. Christopher Plummer, man. Oh, man. You think of some of the roles, you know, Sound of Music, I think, is probably one of his bigger ones. Yeah. I think of Star Trek VI. He played a Klingon in that one. Oh, man. Absolutely great. And some of the older roles he did when he was an older actor and everything. But, yeah, boy, he can add a lot to a movie, Christopher Plummer. Oh, very good. Very good.
It's such a good team actor.
Yes.
Bringing out
ensemble,
the veteran.
Right, yeah.
At number 20, Ray Milland. 132 for Mr. Dial M for Murder.
Yes, that's probably one he's best known for. The one he won an Academy Award for was The Lost Weekend, where he plays an alcoholic. One of the first movies that really dealt with alcoholism in a big way, about, you know, that kind of thing. And I believe, if I remember, I might be wrong on this. I think Billy Wilder directed that?
Yes.
I might be wrong on that, but...
I should double check, but I feel very confident about that. I'm pretty sure you're right about that. At number 19, a name that wasn't long ago you and I were highlighting, James Hong.
Oh, yes.
119 roles for Mr. Hong. Or 133. I'm so sorry. 133 for Mr. Hong. One of the greater character actors. If not, if somebody wants to say the greatest character actor of all time, no argument here.
No.
No argument.
No. No. No bones about it. Boy, and if he is any, if you've ever seen him speak, he's like as... like unglamorizes acting like anyone.
Yeah.
He's just like literally Mr. Go to work every day. You know, he's just like, yeah, that's my job. This is what I do. All right, let's do it.
So many great roles over the years, especially as he got a lot of work in the 80s and everything, and Little Trouble, Big Trouble in Little China, and movies like that. Had played a villain so often in his career.
He has.
It's so cool to see, I would say almost his last like 10 roles have all been like grandfathers and like good guys and good, and it's really
That's
cool
nice
to see.
That's nice to see, yeah.
Yeah, he deserves it. It's such a great actor, and maybe as hard as this is for me to say as a thespian, maybe even a better person than an actor.
That's what
tough.
It sounds like.
That's tough, because he's an amazing actor.
Very good.
One of my biggest influences, one of my favorite actors when I was a kid, Mr. Anthony Quinn, comes in at 18 with 145.
Oh, wow. Mm. Man. Of course, probably one of his signature roles, Zorba the Greek. That's probably his most iconic role. But again, he popped up in so many movies, man.
He was one of those guys that once he got a name, people wanted him in their movie.
Yep.
And because of his background, his heritage, a lot of this was very... And because he did not necessarily look, and this is from Mr. Quinn himself, not like your stereotypical Latino
movie star.
It also gave him versatility back then to not just play Latino roles.
Right, exactly.
Which not a lot of actors had. Mr. Hong as one of them that wasn't able to do that kind of thing. Anthony Quinn, also one of the more like vibrant, energies, especially the older he got, the more you got to see the real Anthony Quinn,
and he was one of those guys that could lead a movie. He could be the lead role or he could be a character in it. He had so versatile. He could do just about anything.
It's because of that I think Zorba is noteworthy, but his performance in Lawrence of Arabia is arguably his most noteworthy performance, in part because it's such a legendary movie and he's such a good compliment to that movie. I can't imagine a movie without him. I can't. I couldn't picture
Once
anybody
that he
else.
Was in. Yeah, exactly.
Also at 17, Michael Caine with 147.
What can you say about Michael Caine?
I mean, we could turn a whole show into
one
Michael
One of the
Caine.
Most brilliant, most versatile actors ever. He could do comedy. He could do action. He could do drama. The man could do anything. Anything he wanted.
One of my biggest influences. One of my favorite
And
people.
He had a voice and an accent second to none. Loved to hear him talk.
Ernest Borgnine at number 16 with 148. A beautiful actor, wonderful human being.
And that's not counting the TV. McHale's Navy he was in as well. Look, think of some of the... Okay, Marty is the one he won the Oscar for, you know. Probably, I don't know anymore if it's his most famous role, but that's what he was known for. But playing like From Here to Fatso. And From Here to Eternity, a pivotal role in that movie.
I forgot about that role.
Yeah, just a real nasty role. You don't think of nasty when you think of Ernest Borgnine,
think of it.
Yeah.
I'm imagining in my head Ernest Borgnine in red, older Ernest Borgnine,
right,
the lovable, likable old guy. That's such a good mention.
How about The Wild Bunch?
That was what I was going to bring
he
out.
He plays just kind of a reckless, you know, guy. Wow. I mean.
That's a great. That movie, I don't know if it still holds up, but I hope it does because I love that movie.
I saw it a few years ago, man. It's still good. It is still a good movie.
I'm marking it on my bookmarks because I want to go back and watch it again. Yeah. I haven't watched it in too long. We come coming up next after him, the great Donald Sutherland with 156.
Recently passed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so thankful that when it comes to some of these actors that you and I, growing up when we did, got to experience them. And to a younger generation, they know these guys as something else and got to experience Donald Sutherland from The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, right? Yeah.
When it comes to Christopher Plummer and some of the Lord of the Rings or some of that stuff or that he was in. These actors that get to stick around a little bit.
Yep.
Even an Anthony Quinn that was in that Cloud movie, A Walk in the Clouds with Keanu Reeves
and stuff. Oh,
yeah, yeah, right. So I like to see that some of these actors have been able to stick around.
Absolutely.
You think about our parents, they knew Michael Caine as one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We knew Michael Caine as one thing, and then a younger generation knows him as a whole other thing. Right. It's really cool to think of.
Yep.
Donald Sutherland at number 15 with 156. At number 14, wonderful character actress Bess Flowers with 165 roles.
Oh, wow. Now, that might be a name that a lot of people don't know. And for myself, too, I don't think I'm sure if I saw a picture of her, I'd know who she was.
Yeah.
I don't think I could name anything that she's been in.
Born to Be Bad, A Woman of Paris, Sudden Fear, Good Neighbor Sam. The Opposite Sex, I think, is a famous one of hers, too. I don't know if you're getting a good image of her there.
But she was from the classic age that continued acting well into her late years. Yeah.
Miss Flowers was considered the queen of Hollywood extras. That was a nickname that she was given for a long time.
How about that? That's pretty darn cool.
I would be pretty proud of that.
Yes,
that'd
me
be
too.
Then next up at number 13, Susan Sarandon with 168.
Wow. Really?
There's a couple names on this list I would have never, you
Very
give me a
surprising.
Thousand guesses, would have never guessed that.
And I'm sure it's a lot of smaller movies that, you know, probably don't have a lot of, you know, never had a lot of publicity when they were released and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's what I think a lot of people don't get with, especially even with bigger stars. They're going to be doing independent films in between the big ones, you know, maybe a script they really liked, and they're not getting paid nearly as much as they do for like the big blockbusters. They're doing maybe, you know, the required minimum for the union kind of thing. And it's, I mean, just think about it. Think of that. If you're a fan of Susan Sarandon, think of the trove of movies that you didn't even know maybe she was in, and then you can go back and look at them. That's one of the cool things about this.
I think Thelma and Louise, Rocky Horror Picture Show certainly stand out, but she was in That's My Boy with Adam Sandler and darn it.
That's all right.
I got to think of this.
You got to look it up now.
Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg is the name
I couldn't think of. But yes, those two, she was in Bull Durham, of course.
Yes, one of her most iconic roles.
She was recently in the movie Enchanted a while ago and stuff.
Yes.
So she's been all over and a lot of great TV work herself over the years.
And it's something you forget about. They also work in TV. How do they have any time for anything? I don't know.
I couldn't think of the name because I was trying to think of something else real quick.
Yeah.
Continuing with our list, at number 12, a name that we are all waiting for, Samuel L. Jackson with 174 movie credits.
Ooh, that's great. I think, will he make 200? I think he's probably getting closer now. That was a little bit older.
He may have made 200 as we were talking.
That's true.
I almost guarantee he did. And while it would take a long, once we get to number one, you'll see how long of a way he has to go.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would be shocked if he was number one on this list. I actually thought he would have been in the top five.
You know, and first of all, he doesn't look his age. So he can play so many different roles. And yeah, I mean, the man, again, Michael Caine, versatile. Can do anything. He can do basically anything you want him to do.
I will admit that there is a little bit of selfishness in this, what I'm about to say, but I do mean this for all of us out there. All of these names, so many of these names, the majority of the names on this list, all these people got their breaks late in life.
That's true.
And got a chance to really hit the ground, like, I'm not going to stop. You got me. I've often joked in my head and to some people that I've told that if I ever were to win an award, the first things out of my mouth, this is the biggest mistake you all ever made. You will never get rid of me now.
That's right.
And that's how I felt about that break. Samuel Jackson is one of the people I've learned this from.
Yep.
He works every month. He takes 1 month off a year to be with his wife, go on vacation. Otherwise, he's working every month because he knows how hard it is to get to this point, and he is never going backwards.
Right. And he must love the work.
And he loves what he does.
He seems to really love the work. Yeah.
And he appreciates this. He appreciates it. You'll never hear this guy talking about anything other than, I am humbled. I am lucky to get to do what I do.
Exactly.
Also, one of my favorite lines I've ever heard, Desus and Mara were interviewing him, and they asked him, Sam, every actor has to do jobs just for the money. Everybody has to do jobs that they may not like. Did you ever do a job for the money? Without blinking an eye. Every one of them. Every one of them. Look, man, this is my job.
Yeah.
Certainly there are certain jobs he took because, I always wanted to fight monsters or something like that.
Or wanted to be in a Marvel movie or whatever. Yeah.
But overall, I mean, the job's a job. All of them. It's a great
get
answer.
Paid.
It's
paid.
A great answer. Yep. A tie at number 10 between Jackie Chan and Mickey Rooney with 190. And that's the first time in human history I believe that Jackie Chan and Mickey Rooney's names have been said together.
Mentioned in the same breath.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. Mickey Rooney, of course, was a child star. I mean, he owned the box office in the 30s. And then later became, kind of a famous voice guy and was in lots of different movies. But Jackie Chan, I mean... All the movies he made in Hong Kong and the thing. What a career. What a guy. Just singular talent.
Absolutely. And a game changer with the way he did his own stunts and some of those. At number 9, wonderful character actor Harry Strang has 196.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think Mr. Smith Goes to Washington may be his most famous, but certainly The Grapes of Wrath have to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm. He's in some good movies.
I believe he was in the original King Kong. I'm not 100% on that, I'm pretty sure he was. But Sergeant York is the one my papa would want me to mention.
Oh, okay.
Great performance in Sergeant York.
Yep.
Continuing a very similar one, Wagon Train star Ward Bond comes in with 200.
Gosh. Ward Bond, not only was he in 100 movies, like you just said, the movies he was in, he was also a very prolific radio actor at the time, too, which he must not have had time to do anything. He was a busy man.
I don't believe he had any personal life whatsoever.
No, not at all.
You can't, if you're a lover of the old Western TV shows and movies like me and Seth and stuff, you can't not mention the Ward Bond.
Yeah.
Coming up at number 7, Richard Ryle with 209.
Oh, jeez.
Another great character actor.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a little lost in the shuffle with these things, but you know Richard Ryle. You know who he is. As soon as you see him.
Oh, 110%.
You've seen him in many movies over the years.
I want to say I believe I saw him in a Guthrie Theater production of Oh, Wilderness, the Eugene O'Neill play. He was on they were doing a traveling show. And I saw it. And again, I also a theater actor as well. Yeah. So,
I think one of his more famous performances is in Office Space. He is one of the consultants that come in and are talking and everything.
He's that guy. He's a heavyset guy. He's got this walrus mustache and he's
beautiful
balding.
Beautiful walrus mustache.
And you have seen him 100 times. He's been in so many things.
He's 76 right now. Looks great. Mm-hmm. He has not aged. In the time that we have known him, he has not aged. Really.
He looks the same.
And while I've seen him a bunch, you know him as soon as you see him.
Mm-hmm.
209 roles?
I did not know that.
I would have never known that.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's done plenty of TV as well. And commercials. He's been in commercials,
Major standing ovation to that, sir.
That is a living, my friends.
Incredible. I think the rest of the names on this list are going to be familiar, but you might be surprised still.
Okay.
At number 6, Christopher Lee with 211. Not too surprising.
No, he worked well into his 80s. Was in 100 Hammer horror movies. Yes, very. And man, one of the smartest people you ever meet, too. Wow.
Yes.
What a great interview.
Getting to the top 5, Danny Trejo comes in at 215.
That's a shocker.
That's the biggest shocker on this list. Oh, second biggest shocker on this list to me.
How did he have time? I mean, he didn't get started acting till well after. I mean, he was in prison at one point.
He was incarcerated for a good portion of his life.
His early life,
His early life.
Yep.
And got out. I want to say he was in his 40s when he got out. So the fact that he's got 211 credited acting. 215, I'm sorry. 215. Yeah. That's insane.
That's insane. And boy, talk about a person who knows how lucky they are. He talks about it all the time.
Wonderful interview if you get a chance to listen to him talk about that. Danny Glover comes in at number 4 with 219.
One of my favorite people. I love Danny Glover. Fabulous actor. Can do anything. Yep.
I would have never guessed in the top 4 of most roles, though.
Yes.
That's impressive.
That's a little surprising.
At number 3, John Carradine with 222.
Oh, yes. Oh, John Carradine, the voice. You know, also had some famous kid actors, you know, his son David and his son Keith, both were in 100 movies themselves too. But John Carradine, you've seen him. He was this super skinny guy, was in a million horror movies, and had a very deep voice. Yeah. He had, like, this amazing
wonderful voice.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how many of these actors worked with each other. I mentioned The Grapes of Wrath. Both John was in, as well as Richard Ryle was in. Ward Bond, I think, might have been in that.
I think he was in it too. Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how many of these guys, especially earlier actors, were in these movies together. We're down to our top two, everybody.
All right.
And I don't know if anybody had these two.
Okay.
At number two, all time, for most acting performances, accredited roles, silent film legend Gertrude.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our statewide Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest continues, and we debut a completely legitimate and totally real new attack ad. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.